been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Lots of changes going on. A lot of changes, a lot of injuries to talk about on this Purple Friday preview, getting ready for the Giants. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? You ready for this?
Dude, I'm ready, man. Road trip number one, ready to go. I can't wait till the bus is pulling away, and we are all set to go to the Meadowlands for round number one.
That's right. So it's back-to-back games. I don't know if you listened to the Ravens' official team podcast this week yet, but they said they're actually going to be traveling by train up to New York. No flights, no cars. That they're gonna, I guess they're going to rent out a whole train and go the old way up.
Instead of crazy train, we calling it the purple train.
The purple train. I like it.
The purple train's headed up north, man. I can't wait, man. This has been a week of refreshing changes, and a lot of things have happened. I definitely want to get right into it, man. And I definitely want to start the show off by saying a couple points in kind of leaving the Red Eye Review behind. I know I didn't mention it last week, but it was good to see. I don't know if anybody knows this or we didn't bring it up that weren't there live. But I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that Michael Phillips and Ray Lewis were present on Sunday?
Yeah, they tweeted out a couple pictures, got to see both of them. I know Phelps came out through the tunnel. And
yeah, it was awesome.
And Phelps and Ray are really good friends, so the two of them kind of hung out in a skybox. And I think that was Phelps' kid's first Ravens game.
Yep. Yeah, and that was special to see. It just sucks we didn't pull it out, you know, with the emotional factors of them there. And it was really great to see. And also our former Raven, speaking of, you know, our Olympic champion and former Raven Ray Lewis, but Justin Forsett found employment in the Detroit Lions. So good for him, man. He wasn't unemployed long, and just wish him success up there in the North.
Absolutely. Justin Forsett, what a good guy. A horrible talent to lose in the locker room. Yeah, he wasn't doing that great under, I mean, who's to say, like, what if he would have stuck around and Tressman left? Like, would that have changed his game up at all? Would he have been able to find a little bit more explosiveness on the field without Mark Tressman making the plays? You know, we'll never know, but good for him for finding a job within a week and going to Detroit, hanging out with Anquan Boldin, Jim Caldwell, and Haloti Ngata.
Absolutely, man. It's definitely going to be awesome. And former Ravens unite again. It seems like that's what they do, is when they leave the team, they find other former Ravens to flock to. I think it's just funny how the Ravens family, even though they've come through here, whether they played one season, one game, full seasons or several seasons, they seem to find homes together with Chapagano, and he took, you know, Art Jones there, and Corey Redding, and Matt Stover was up there before Pagano got up there. So we just know that, you know, a lot of Ravens land on their feet when they leave here, whether they either retire or land other jobs. So it's definitely great to see him still in the league, and I can't wait to see it that unfold. But first and foremost, man, we got the Giants in front of us. This is the tale of losing streaks, man. The teams are combined with 5 losses in a row. Ravens at 2 in a row, Giants at 3-0. Obviously, we know the great news is a losing streak's going to be snapped. We hope it's Baltimore's 2 versus Giants 3 and put them at a 4 losing streak in there. And that's the goal here at hand, man. We got to get back to 4-2. If we start off 3-0 and lose 3 straight, dude, it's going to get dire around here very quickly. I mean, and I just want to hear your thoughts of, you know, what you've seen so far in the offense. Have you seen a different life in them this week in practice?
From what I'm understanding, and let me get to your first point here, the Giants are coming off of three straight losses. The Ravens coming off of two straight losses. This is going to be a fun game to watch because both teams are angry. Both teams are angry at themselves. Both teams really want to win. So this really is a must-win game early on in the season for both teams because, I mean, winning three in a row, losing two in a row, you don't want to get to that 3-3 point. We've seen with Odell Beckham all of his antics off the field, you know, throwing stuff and everything. I mean, both teams are really angry. However, I do think the Ravens have the upper hand here because of the changes with offensive coordinator. With Mark Trestman being let go and then Marty Morningweg, I think that's how you say his name, Morningweg.
It's well. It sounds like it's morning, but you leave the end. It's more. It really pronounced Morningweg, but if you say it real fast, it sounds like you say morning.
Yeah. Morningweg.
Or I mean, yeah. In conversation, who knows, right?
Right. Yeah. So with him coming in, what the Ravens have said this past week is Joe Flacco, Dennis Pitta, a couple other offensive guys have said they're excited. All of them are big fans of Marty. He's been with the Ravens. This is his second season. So not a lot of I thought he'd been with the Ravens a little bit longer, but not a lot of history with the Ravens so far. But they say that Trestman, he was a little bit more soft spoken than Marty is, that Trestman was a little bit more timid. So I think this week the Ravens really have the upper hand, and it's a must win for both teams. However, I think the Ravens are out to prove, look, it was Mark Trestman who was making these play calls, and that was why we weren't scoring drives. It wasn't us. You know, they got to prove that we let this guy go for a reason and that the offense really is as good as we all think it is.
Well, that's a great point, dude, because what happens is I've been hearing a lot of chatter that it could be a horrible thing because, you know, we went through five coordinators, 5 years. Granted, Kubiak left for his dream job, so we don't count that because it wasn't fired. Caldwell was going to get fired, but he found a head coaching job first. We weren't going to fire Kubiak. Kubiak's, you know, Flacco had one of the strongest years in recent history in his young career here under Kubiak. So it's going to be very interesting to see if something's not fixed. You're going to go look directly to the head coach, man. And everybody's like, well, now I've heard a lot of chatter on social media, especially in the radio shows this week. If in a few weeks in the Ravens, let's say they lose both road games and they're under 500, or if they get 1-1 and they start losing and we fly out a playoff race, because right now it's fun to talk about in week five, but as it stands, the Ravens would be the fifth seed in the playoffs. It's just fun to talk about right now. But you got to keep pace because you got to keep winning to keep that pace and stay ahead of the curve. You don't want to fall behind in the hunt. Going on week six, you can already talk about playoff picture because by the bye week, we're going to know. We're going to know where we stand before we play the November game. So you definitely want to come out of the next 2 weeks on the winning side to be 5-2 is really the goal. You don't want to take in chunks, but what happens is if you look at the offense and the cumulative effort, it's going to put everybody under a microscope. Yes, you want them to succeed, but you're going to really find out, you're right, if it is indeed a system. And Trestman was saying back when he got hired, he was going to keep Kubiak's system. Obviously, he wasn't paying attention to the game on Sunday because it ultimately cost him his job. And there's been some points where, made up, if the Ravens would have bailed him out per se and actually won the game, would have he been fired? I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back, if we can say that around here. I think it was kind of the end-all, be-all. Especially not paying attention to running games. So everything's going to be a big focal point. Run the football. A lot of things are going to be really looked at on this game. So me being there live, it's really going to be, you know, it's kind of like a tough task for me as a fan because I've taken in the environment, being in enemy territory, enjoying the fans, enjoying the environment. But then I want to pay attention to see what plays are called and what situations. I want to see how the games flow. I want to see how the offense comes out with fire because I heard the guys were very excited, man. They were very excited with practice. They said Marty's fired up. So I hope he keeps that fire from day in and day out.
I do too, and it's funny that you kind of brought up this was the straw that broke the camel's back because I don't know if you saw this or not, but NFL Network was reporting that Harbaugh actually wanted to let Mark Trestman go in the offseason. So this actually was coming from last season, and I kind of feel as if Harbaugh, his coaching staff, maybe the front office was saying, look, we had a really bad season last year due to injuries. And I think Harbaugh was kind of saying, well, it wasn't just injuries. I didn't agree with what this guy was doing as a coach. And they said, well, you know, let's see what he does in the next season, because if we really do have a a quarterback, Super Bowl MVP quarterback, if we really have all of these weapons on wide receiver, if we do get a guy like Dennis Pitta back, if we have a six pick in Ronnie Stanley there, and we're still losing, then it's time for this guy to go. Because
of course
everybody's healthy at this point. You can't blame it on injuries. So I think that's why we didn't see it in the offseason. I think we're seeing it now. I think all of these guys want to win. They know they can win. And I think everybody there knows they could have beat the Redskins, and this change had to be made. I don't think anybody was happy. I think Joe was very upset, kind of doing a very timid kind of play calling, not really going after those big plays, doing stuff real safe. I think he wants to take more chances, take more shots. And I think we're going to see that on Sunday.
I think so, too. You're going to see a lot more aggressive play calling, a lot more timely, and paying attention to the game flow, given what the defense gives you. And I think overall, be all, another focal point is seeing the injury report and seeing if Stanley's going to be playing, if on the defense Matt Judon's going to be in. A lot of these guys, they can't be hurt for long because it's hurting the depth of the team. It's hurting the chemistry. And for the first time, if you look at it, all the draft picks and rookies didn't play. Matt Judon didn't play, Correa didn't play, Stanley didn't play, Moore wasn't dressed. So it's just you can't have that when you have your whole 2016 draft class not playing because they're hurt, and then you have Perriman, technically a rookie, you know, out there on his lonesome. So we need all hands on deck, man. And we've always said the healthiest team in the NFL wins a championship. A lot of times defense wins championships, if not more times than not. The offense really does never get it done. But it's always the healthiest and hottest team make the playoffs as those two H's together. And the Ravens need to catch that fire, stay healthy, and get hot really quick.
That's right. And speaking of injuries, on Wednesday, it came out that Ronnie Stanley still is not practicing. So this is potentially three games in a row now that this guy won't be playing. And he wants to play. It's up to John Harbaugh about whether or not that Stanley will be able to play or not. He's having problems with his foot. So time will tell if we're going to see Ronnie Stanley. He wants to be out there, and I want to see him out there. I think Joe wants him out there. We've seen how bad it is to have him not on the field. Speaking of other injuries, Steve Smith Sr., he's still up in the air. He didn't practice again on Wednesday. Not a good sign for him, especially at his age. It seems as if he's still kind of having some ankle problems. Mike Wallace didn't practice on Wednesday. He's saying he is playing on Sunday, but you saw that hit that he got at the end of last Sunday's game. I would assume he's got a cracked rib or something there hurting him. Marshall Yanda didn't play. Rick Wagner didn't play. That's a lot of guys. I feel like this is last season all over again. All these guys aren't practicing. All of them are hurt. That is going to be terrible. And if
they're big names.
Yeah, if Yanda and Wagner are both out, that would leave the Ravens shorthanded.
Steve Smith might have the strong possibility of not playing, which would be huge. Stanley's continuing to miss time. Dimmerville misses practice. Yanda even misses practice, all along with Rick Wagner. So, I mean, I almost want to cry here, dude. These names on this do not practice list, it's a long and big list, and it has a lot of huge names on here, man, and big names for our offense and defense. And if everybody's not dressed on this and ready to go on Sunday, it could be dire straits, man.
It could. Now, let me ask you about Steve Smith. Obviously, I want Steve Smith on the field. Obviously, I want him to be one of Joe's receivers. However, if he doesn't play, that means Kamar Aiken and Breshad Perriman will be stepping up. They'll probably be getting more pass chances out there on the field. Kamar Aiken looked great last year in Steve Smith's absence. He didn't look that great two weeks ago. Had a lot of penalty flags. Dropped that last ball, even though I still don't think that last ball was his fault. I think he got obliterated and was a defensive receiver, but we'll leave that 2 weeks ago. Can the Ravens count on these guys in Steve Smith's absence?
Yeah, man, I think they can. Will they get the job done? It remains to be seen. New offensive scheme. We need guys to step up, especially on the road. It's going to be tough with two on the road. We can get it done. I mean, yeah, we won on the two on the road at home. We lost two in a row at home, won two in a row on the road. So it seems like the road's not phase us right now. It seems like home's the problem, which is unheard of. You definitely don't want that happening in the NFL. You know, you want to take care of your business at home. I've always said the old adage, you go 8-0 at home, take care of your home games. which is difficult to do. The Ravens done it way in the past before. You split 4-4 on your other games outside of the crib, and you're 12-4 every year. So even if you go 7-1 or 6-2 and you can go 4 on the road, you can get right into the playoff hunt. So you got to take care of home games. But the fact remains is it's kind of crazy how the Ravens are 1-2 at home and 2-0 on the road. So we're undefeated on the road. So if there's any streaks alive, it's we want to break the losing streak, but keep the winning home or the winning away from home alive, and have 3 in a row this year on the road as a W instead of a loss.
Absolutely. Now, looking over on the defensive side, big name potentially not playing this Sunday, C.J. Mosley. We saw the problems he was having on Sunday. He has a thigh injury. He left the game early. He didn't practice this week. So potentially not going to see him, and he's played every single game since he was drafted in 2014. He hasn't missed a snap on the defense. He's been playing great this year so far. Yeah, he kind of messed up there with that touchback, but at the same time, he's been able to catch interceptions. He's been key to this defense for years. What do we do if CJ Mosley is out of there? I mean, he's become such a intricate part to our defense.
Well, I tell you what, man, you imagine you'd have had to come back quickly. If anything, it's going to be a huge void, huge loss. He's played every game since he's been here 2 years ago. He was a Pro Bowler his rookie year, first time in Ravens history. We don't want to see anybody miss significant time and even a game. I mean, we understand injuries happen in the NFL on fluke plays and when important plays or any plays for that matter. And we definitely want everybody out there, but it's going to be a huge void in the middle of the field. A big thrust in Steve takes over the play calling abilities. It'd probably be Suggs by default, being the unspoken leader of the defense without question the leader, or it might be Doom. So you can look for Suggs or Doom to get the green sticker on the helmet. That would just be me by default, but it remains to be seen on who steps up to the plate in that regard.
Well, it potentially could be Suggs, because we also have another injury. Elvis Dumervil missed practice. He missed the first three games recovering from that foot area thing, but he did not practice on Wednesday. We don't know if he's going to play this Sunday. And Sharice Wright, after scratch for Sunday's game, he did come back to practice on Wednesday. Of course, we want Doom on the field. However, do we want Sharice Wright back on the field after he's played? Is this like his potential last chance? Because Tavon Young kind of stepped into that role after another player got injured before him this past Sunday. And Tavon Young's been very impressive this year. I like what I've seen from him on special teams. He's been great on defense. Could if Sharice Wright doesn't perform this Sunday, could Tavon Young take his spot?
Of course. And you might want to rephrase that question. Do we or do I not want to see him on the field? I think I speak for the vast majority of Ravens Nation when I say we don't want to see him on the field. It's just because he just hasn't done his job. And you just got to be out there doing your jobs well. And you can't have any voids this late, in this early in the season. We can't have that question. We have to have playmakers out there, and guys are doing their jobs. But I mean, I think they both complement each other as far as obviously we know what one can do and what cannot do. So we know who we want to have in there. But it'd be interesting to see how it plays out, if even if he's back at practice. But obviously we didn't expect him to be a scratch from the game on Sunday. Of course, a healthy scratch, but he was benched, and benched right this. Maybe that was an attention getter saying, hey, you don't wise up in your play, you're going to go there permanently. So it could be a one-week wonder there. But being that he has been activated back in practice, I think he gets the job by default, but we'll see how the coaches feel.
All right, so now with the Giants, Odell Beckham, of course, big name with the Giants. What do you do with the Ravens here? Odell Beckham, how do you make him a non-factor of this game? Do you just kind of irritate him? Because obviously he gets really angry very easily. Who do you stick on him? What do you think here? Because we've seen what Sharice Wright does, if Sharice Wright is playing, what he does against star receivers. He does not cover them very well.
That's going to be very interesting to see, especially with Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard. Those guys can burn, and they can burn deep. And that, who I heard, is Carson was burning Jimmy all day long, and Deshaun got wide open a few times and made some big plays on third down. So you don't want to see these guys. We haven't let up a huge play yet. We don't want to see them get burned by that 60, 70-yard touchdown bomb. We want him to really keep everything contained, everything in front, and really contain the big plays, and don't want to have them taking the roof off the defense, because big plays are Achilles heel, man. What happened on special teams, you can't have the guy return all the way for a six, and that's what happened, big play. Ultimately, it was the difference in the game, obviously. Who knows if we tack them at the 20 and they go three and out, we get the ball back, kick three or get six, it gives us another possession or a chance to stop them. But when you let them go up and down the field on a kickoff return or punt return, you're giving them free points. The offense wasn't on the field, and then our offense wasn't getting a chance to get the ball back, and they gave up free points. So that's going to be another key. Special teams got to step up too, man, because it's definitely a phase that's been lacking since week one.
Absolutely. And I find it very interesting that in 2012, the Ravens released their offensive coordinator, and then we bring in a new guy. And who's the first person we're up against? Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos. This year, the Ravens let go an offensive coordinator. Who's the first person we face? Eli Manning and the New York Giants. So there's something about these Mannings getting us the week right after an offensive coordinator's let go. Eli's, a lot of people are questioning him right now. Is he the quarterback he once was? Is this a guy that won two Super Bowls? What's your feeling on Eli? Is he going to be a guy that the Ravens are going to be easily able to get to, or is he going to be a big factor on this game?
I think he's going to be a big factor, man. And if we don't get to him and rush him, it's going to be a big problem. And pass defense or pass rush, I should say, in that it goes complementing him with pass defense, because if when they're dropping their back to pass, man, you got to make noise. You got to be disruptive. And it's just disheartening to know when these guys do that. You can't let a guy sit back there for 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds and pat the ball. Oh, I got my reads, and you just really can't have that happen. We have to get our lanes. We have to beat the guys that we're supposed to beat, make the moves. And without Suggs doing his job out there, Doom hurt, Judon not there, we're not getting the rush we need in Correa. So not that these guys weren't making noise before and we haven't heard their names, but each piece is very important, and we need everybody out there to really do their part, make noise, because pass rush is a big part of this game that's lacking. I've always said this game is won or lost in the trenches, man, and I firmly stand by my statement on that, because we need a pass rush or they're going to pick us apart. And that's what Kirk Cousins did all day long last week. If you didn't see, he had a lot of time, and we only had one sack, and it was on a great play by Suggs, and that's it. You can't go a four-quarter game in the NFL and only have one sack on the opposing QB. You're not going to get it done at all. And I can't believe we're even talking about that, because our Ravens team's usually getting a lot past us. I don't know where Jernigan is. I don't know where the pass rush is, but we have to have it happen. I mean, they had two great sacks in a row in that final drive against Bortles in Jacksonville. So I'm looking for a big pass rush, man. I'm looking for it.
All right. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. Josh, did we cover everything?
Brother, we covered this one. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
Nevermore. That's an interesting take on that one. Josh,
yes, sir, man. I felt it was warranted. Changing offensive coordinator, changing our sign off. I think we're heading in new directions here in Ravens Nation in week 6, man.
All right, guys. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. Josh, you can tweet to me. Actually, why am I telling you?
I found you today. You tweeted me, so tweeted you back.
Yeah. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always find me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And make sure you're following us there for our Facebook live videos on game day. Game day previews. They get you ready for the game. Josh did it from Lot H last week. Are you going to do it from New Jersey this year, this week?
Yes, sir, man. I'll be up there. Bus leaves at 6 a.m. I'm going to do a Facebook Live bright and early. I'm not sure if anybody will be up with me. Who knows? Maybe if our Ravens Nation Worldwide will be up with me, but I'm going to broadcast live. Might do it en route to the stadium or en route to the bus. I'll definitely do one on the bus ride as it gets light. Definitely do one when I meet up with our listener, John. Can't wait to do it at the Purple Tailgate and be more around town. I can't wait to get up there and do it. So we're going to do a lot of great things. I'm going to do my game day, my sort of the game day edition right up there, and have my special guest John with me. We're gonna invite him on, and we're going to get it done right. And I really can't wait to do it, man. Ravens Road Trip Edition 2016. Can't wait till those buses are gassed up and we're ready to rock.
All right, very cool. So, guys, all we ask in return for you guys listening for free, downloading for free, streaming for free, we want some free advertisements from you guys, all right? So let people know. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go. And if you're on the bus trip with Josh, make sure you give him a high five and tell him you listened to the call this Sunday. Josh, make sure you tell everybody on the bus that you're a podcast and that they should be listening to the call every single week. And that's all we're asking, guys. Be proud. Wear your purple on Purple Fridays. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much, guys. Purple Friday in the house. Can't wait to get this done this weekend. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Can't wait to do Ravens Edition Road Trip. Guys, we have the Giants. They've lost three in a row, but we lost two in a row. Something's got to break. We have to do it in a row, guys. Change is good. Change is always good. We welcome change. Everybody's afraid of change because everybody gets complacent in their ways. But, guys, this is what we need, a wake-up call, shake-up in the offense, because they have been asleep. Our coordinator was asleep on last Sunday, man, because our fans in the stands were calling for the plays that we needed to make to win the game. And, frankly, we know they weren't happening, guys. They weren't happening. And it ended up being in a 16-10 losing effort. When you score 7 points in your first drive and score 3 points the remainder of the game, we already know, guys, something has to change. And here we are. Change is warranted. It feels great this week. I've seen a new swagger in these guys by the videos I've seen in the interviews and the excitement. And I know the Ravens chopping at the bit to show us off. I hope the guys get healthy. We need all hands on deck for Sunday. It's a must win, man, this early in the season. Week 6, Baltimore Ravens, MetLife Stadium, Meadowlands. Let's fly high this weekend.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.